Hey guys, this is Jason David Frank, the Green Ranger, and you are listening to a Locked On Spurs with Jeff Garcia. It's Morphin' Time.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Spurs on the Locked On Podcast Network. I am Jeff Garcia, your host for today's episode, and I'll be joined by Jim Lefko, my colleague over at News 4 San Antonio, momentarily. And with all eyes on DeMar DeRozan, re-signing Bryn Forbes, re-signing Rudy Gay, there's been maybe a few, two or three players that may have gotten lost in the shuffle. One of them, Davis Bertans. Bertans has had a quiet offseason outside of the news that he re-signed with San Antonio. But other than that, he's kind of been falling behind in the radar. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to put Davis Bertans in the spotlight and discuss what it means that he is back for another season with San Antonio, how his third season with the Spurs could project out to be, and maybe bring up some salary structure. So let's go ahead and bring on Jim Lefko. Jim, welcome back to Locked On Spurs.
Happy to be here, Jeff. Thanks for asking me.
Not a problem. Jim, as I mentioned in the intro, Bertans seems to be kind of lost in this whole kind of upheaval of the roster this offseason. You see Manu Ginobili go, you know, and I get it. You know, a lot of spotlights, big spotlights have been in certain players, but then there's Bertans. What do you think? What do you think the Spurs mentality was when they brought back the young man from Latvia?
Oh, I think he's a nice asset off the bench. He can give you depth at both small forward and power forward with his height. I think he's about 6'10" in his youth, 25 years old. Those are good assets to have. And we all know how good of a shooter he is from distance. His defense has shown signs of improvement. So I think he's a pretty reliable person for Pop to call on. And certainly he's part of the top 9 or 10 man rotation they're going to go to war with every night.
Yeah, he definitely is a nice, a stretch 4 or stretch 5? I think he can play both positions, or is he pretty much relegated to a forward, small forward spot?
Well, to me, he's a 3, though he's kind of got a 4's body.
Right.
I think he's best served being a small forward. Yeah, defensively with his height, you could play him at power forward. And if you had to in a pinch, you could play him at the 5 if you absolutely had to. But I think he's best suited at the 3 with a little bit of time at the 4.
Obviously, as you mentioned, one of his best assets is that hot shooting. And that's what he's pretty much known for. But if you're going to look at one thing on his game on either side of the floor, what would you think that you would hope he brought some attention to this offseason?
Well, you know, he comes in as a natural shooter from distance. But if you look at his numbers, he actually slipped a little bit last year in three-point shooting. His first year, he shot about 39% from three. Last year, it dipped to 37. But I think the Spurs would like to get him up in that 40% range. Now, he did shoot more often last year than the year before. So, you know, that might be one reason the numbers slipped a little bit. But I think for him to be the kind of contributor they want, he needs to be in that 40% range. And he's very steady from two-point range. But, again, his marksmanship from distance is what this is a calling card. And I think if you had to look at a second attribute, it'd be what he can do defensively. He does bring a lot of height to the lineup. He can block some shots. He can take charges. He's getting scrappier by the day. So I think if you can see more defensive improvement to go along with that steadiness from the three-point line, that's what they're looking for from him.
He is very scrappy. He won't back down from a confrontation, as Greg Monroe found out in, rookie season with the Spurs. So, yeah, he brings a lot of those type of intangibles, the scrappiness, the outside shooting. But then you look at his second season with San Antonio, he had a moment where he was putting up numbers and, getting the time, but then all of a sudden he kind of faded out into the distance. What did you make of that? Do you think that was simply just a rotation decision by Pop, or maybe there was something more?
No, I didn't think there was much more to it than, outside shooters can be streaky.
Yeah.
If that percentage had been up around 45%, I don't think you'd have seen the bench time for him. And sometimes it's opponents, and sometimes it's another teammate that gets hot. But I think Pop has shown that he's confident in the game that Bertans brings. They wouldn't have signed him to a 2-year deal if they hadn't had that confidence in him. And I think that's just the ups and downs of a young player. You know, even though he's been here for 2 years, he's only 25. So this is a guy that's got a lot of seasoning, but his NBA experience is still pretty limited.
Yeah, he's still young, and he's still trying to find his way in the NBA. You look at last year, he spent a few games out in Austin. before they pretty much put a squash to that. So you look at this offseason, he, at least on social media, as far as him sharing anything, he's been relatively quiet. Not too much, by the way, of off-season workouts. But he did play with Team Latvia for some exhibition games, but then he declined to continue playing with them once he re-signed with San Antonio. One interesting note, Jim, and we have it over at the Spurs Zone. You can find it at News 4 San Antonio on Fox 29, sanantonio.com. He was already resigned to leaving the Spurs. It had gone deep into the offseason. He hadn't gotten word yet. He did an interview with a Latvian outlet. Forgive me, I don't recall at this very moment. But prior to the inking, if you will, he was already resigned going back to the EuroLeague. He was hoping that he would stay with San Antonio, though he did mention a couple teams were interested in him. He didn't name them. But I think this is a situation where the guy just needed that, maybe to boost his confidence. You know, I think at that moment in the offseason, he was probably thinking his NBA season, his career was over. But when the Spurs came and made him a deal, I think that's exactly what he needed. And we would hope that translated to confidence on the court next season, Jim.
And that also could have been a little bit of leverage. If him or his agent are floating the news that he wants to go back to Latvia.
Yeah.
That might put a little bit of pressure on the Spurs to make a deal. But that also could just come from being young. He wasn't, he didn't start often. And, you could certainly see this first team going on in another direction. But I think he's happy that they signed him. I think it's $7 million a year for the next 2 years, which makes him, by my count, the sixth highest paid player on the team. So that's pretty good confidence in a guy. He's making more than Marco Bellinelli, Bryn Forbes, guys like that. So that's a nice payday for a guy who still, has room for growth.
And if you want to watch Bertans and the Spurs next season, well, I think this is a great time to bring up Vivid Seats. Now, this lockdown episode is brought to you by Vivid Seats. And look, we all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on the Spurs. And now with Vivid Seats, you can attend a concert, a show, a sporting event of your choice at a great price. Now, Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all live events you want to go. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and pick your row of choice. So pretty much Vivid Seats has it all, vividseats.com. Now, to make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. So what you got to do is this. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON. That's it. Just use LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Now, every purchase is backed by 100% buyer guarantee. So from the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, every ticket you buy is going to be backed up by 100% buyer guarantee. Vivid Seats has it all. I've used it. You should use it too. So just go download the app, enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. And, hey, make a memory last a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help get you to your favorite live event. So for all those Spurs fans that are listening right now, go get your tickets now. If you want to use some individual seats, it'll be a handful of seats for the upcoming Spurs game, go to VividSeats.com, download the Vivid Seats app, and have some fun. Okay, we are joined by Jim Lefko, my colleague over at News4SanAntonio.com. Now, Jim, we were talking about Bertans. He's kind of been lost in this offseason shuffle, and rightfully so. I get it. Kawhi Leonard, DeMar, so many pieces moving around. But do you think he's going to be a big factor in the Spurs rotation next season, or do you expect him to have a very similar season as he did in his first two seasons with the Spurs?
Yeah, I think you're going to see growth from him. The Spurs way is to coach these guys up, and each year they come back with either a new skill or refining a skill that they had the previous season. So I think the reason they're paying him $14 million over the next two seasons is that they do want him to be a significant contributor. I would think at a minimum, this is a guy that's going to be able to back up two positions. And depending on how the injury bug hits, again, if you've got a Rudy Gay and a Marcus Aldridge, Bellinelli, some of these guys that have some seasoning, they may miss a game or two. And I think Bertans showed last year that he can step in a pinch and be a substitute starter. So I think he's pretty versatile. I think they expect more out of him. He's a good kid. He's coachable. He doesn't make any trouble off the court or in the locker room. And I think he fits the Spurs mold perfectly. So I think you're going to see improvement from this young player next season.
Yeah. Would you be shocked? I know it's probably a very stupid question, but I just got to ask simply because of what I saw last season. Would you be shocked if he was maybe sent to Austin for a handful of games as we saw in his second season?
You know, I don't think you're paying a guy this kind of money to go play in Austin.
Okay.
To me, Austin is more for the first and second year players. You know, if his confidence needed a boost and he was in a shooting slump, maybe you send him there to, you know, regain his stroke. But I look at it now that he does have, this will be his third NBA season. He's played a lot of games. I don't think that there's a need for him to have to go to Austin unless something unexpected happens.
All right. Now, Bertans, we know his on-game attributes, you know, the three-point shooting, you know, provide a little defense. But I still have a concern about his physique. In my opinion, I think he's still too light. He's still too light in the feet. You know, if they need a push, put him in the five or the four spot, I think he didn't get bumped around. I think, and I hope, this offseason, he's been working on his frame. I think he needs to add a little bit more size and maybe use that aggressiveness and that scrappiness that we know he has and translate that into maybe providing somewhat of a post game. Am I wrong on this hopeful thought that maybe he added some size, Jim, or you think he's fine the way he is, you know, doing what he can do for San Antonio?
Yeah, I think at this stage of his career, what we see, maybe what we get from a physical perspective. I think everybody would agree with you that another 10 or 15 pounds in the upper body would help. But, you know, he's a shooter. He's a slicer. I guess I think of a Mike Dunleavy type of player. You know, it's not necessarily going to be the guy to bang in a low post, although I think he's a little stronger than people give him credit for. He seems more frail than he is on the court. He's a pretty tough dude. As you mentioned earlier, he isn't afraid to scrap it up with the big guys. But I think you're right. If he were to add 10 or 15 pounds, nobody would complain as long as he didn't, you know, lose anything off his shooting stroke.
Yeah, and it's amazing to me how accurate he can be from deep with just 9 fingers. He has 9 fingers, Jim.
Yeah, that's interesting, too. He spent a lot of time in the gym. He doesn't use that as an excuse. Yeah, I remember when that surfaced, it was either last year or the year before. You know, if that's what you've had most of your life, then, you know, you don't look at that as anything negative. That's just how it is. So it hasn't seemed to affect his shooting any. He's overcome it. And like I say, he's fun to watch. When he gets in a rhythm, he shoots with great confidence. I think he's accurate to 4 or 5 feet beyond the arc. I mean, the kid's got great range, shoots a beautiful ball. I just think he just needs to, again, get that shooting percentage up to that next level. Boy, if he could shoot at 44 or 45% from the three-point range, he'd be awful hard to keep off the court.
Yeah, it feels like every time he puts up the ball, it's going to go in. And his shooting stroke is just insane. And even misses look good, Jim, seriously. His misses look good. But... You know, you're looking at his offensive game. You mentioned his defense earlier on the show. What areas of his defense do you think he needs to improve? Is it just being a better defender? Do you think maybe with his length he needs to start getting some his block shots number up? What would you hope for defensively from Dobbs?
Yeah, he's not bad in block shots. He's averaged about a half a block a game. It's actually 0.4 each of his 2 seasons. That could certainly go up a tick. He's not necessarily a rim protector, but he can block shots either on his man or off the ball. I think where he could probably improve is physicalness one-on-one and then the lateral movement. You know, he's not the quickest player on the court. He's not the slowest. But I don't think when he's guarding somebody that they necessarily think that he's going to shut them down. He doesn't play with a lot of swagger, again, although he can block shots. So I think being more confidence on the defensive end. Just like you need confidence on offense, you need confidence on defense. And as he gets more familiar with his teammates and works with guys like Aldridge and DeRozan, I think you're going to see the team aspect come out. But, you know, it's tough when you're a bench player because you're playing with different rotations and different players, and sometimes you're with all bench players. Other times you're subbing in with some of the starters. And defense is about communication. So, you know, talking about the switches and communicating to your teammates what you need to do, these are all things that I think he can work on as he matures as a player.
Yeah, I'm expecting a better and brighter things in his third season for Dobbs. I think a new contract, a new, a very young team, a team that I'm thinking, I'm pretty sure he's going to be running a lot more with the amount of guards they have and the type of offense this Spurs team can put up heading into the new season. I think he'll factor into that. I also think maybe even playing with a guy like a bruiser, like Jakob Poeltl, you know, a guy who just wants to eat up in that paint, just some clear some space for Bertans to do some things, whether that be dribble drive penetrations or defensives have to honor his outside shot. And I think a guy like LaMarcus and a Poeltl and even a DeMar DeRozan, I think the makeup of this team as it stands right now could lend to better stats and a better approach for Davis into next season, Jim.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, as that second team develops chemistry, you know, if we can assume that the DeJounte Murray is going to get first team minutes at point guard, that means that you know, most likely Patty Mills would be the point guard out there on the perimeter.
Yeah.
And I think it's incumbent on Patty to find him out there. Now, Patty's expertise is probably more of a shooter than a penetrator and a kick it out to Bertans kind of guy. But that's the offense that I think he would thrive in. If he played more with a point guard who could find him spotting up at that three-point line and draw a defender off him and get him an open look, that's where I think you're going to see, you know, double-digit scoring performances from him on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I mean, just in his short time with the Spurs, I don't have the stats in front of me, Jim, but I know he's already done so much statistically for San Antonio. I think as far as three-point percentage, he's been one of the highest in quite some time, at least from a very young player, a rookie or a second-year guy. So he has the potential. We've seen it. We've seen he can do it in Austin. We've seen he can do it with the national team for Latvia. We've seen what he can do in sports for San Antonio in his first and second season. Hopefully he'll become more consistent, and that'll translate into his third season, or he'll be that gem that the Spurs got in the Kawhi Leonard trade. If we forget, he was part of the Kawhi Leonard trade, Jim.
Right, he came over on that draft idea with Indiana. It's kind of almost a throw-in.
Yeah.
But, you know, you were mentioning the three-point shooting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was surprised when I looked these numbers up. He's only been here 2 years. He's taken 425 three-point shots.
Wow.
Made 163 of them, right at 38%. So, you know, while we think he could, you know, take a little bit more, that's a lot of shots to get up for a guy who's not playing heavy minutes. He started 6 games his first year, 10 the second. But he's usually getting 10 to 15 minutes off the bench. And if he can get 5 three-point shots up every game, then that's great. Maybe this year he can up it to 6 or 7 and hit 3 or 4 of those. So I think you're seeing a work in progress here, a guy who's got confidence from distance, and I always see upside for him. You know, he hit 94 threes last year. Maybe he gets up to 120, 140 this year as he gets more minutes.
I hope so, too, and things are looking bright for the young man, Davis Bertans. Now, before I let you go, Jim, because I know you got other stuff to do, your quick thoughts on the Spurs bringing back Brent Berry in a front office spot.
I think that's a smart move. He's a savvy guy. He knows the league. He knows the game. He's been a good analyst. He knows the front office here. Their front office moves over the years have been almost as good as their on-court moves. They know what they're doing when they bring folks in their front office. So if there's any doubt, I think they always get the benefit of the doubt of some of the people they bring in. Barry's a known commodity. I think he should be popular with fans here. They won't see him that much.
But, yeah.
The things he's going to do behind the scenes and working with Popovich and Buford, some that are smart hire for a smart organization.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to good things from Brent Berry. You know, it likely is probably a stepping stone for him. Usually, you know, we've seen it before. Other front office execs throughout the NBA, you start with the Spurs for the most part, not all the time, but, you know, if he's looking for bigger and brighter things post-Spurs or even with the Spurs, the Spurs could not have gotten a better person than Brent Berry. He's still a fan favorite in San Antonio. He helped the Spurs win, what, 2 titles, I believe? It was 2,
right?
On 2 teams, right?
Yeah. And he's got good basketball genetics, and that can't be debated.
Yeah.
You know, when you come from a family like that, from the day he was probably old enough to dribble, there was a ball in his hand. He's a career NBA guy, and I think, again, another smart hire by the Spurs front office.
There you go. All right, but we need to hear what you have to say, whether it be about Brent Berry or Davis Bertans. You can email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter at @JeffGSpursZone. Jim, how can Spurs fans interact with you?
Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Lefko.
Give Jim Lefko a follow. But for Jim Lefko, I am Jeff Garcia, and we're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.